Today, we're going to be talking about building your coaching practice without paid ads. Welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner. This one's no funnels needed with my very special guest, Mark Mowinney. I cannot wait to hear what he's going to share with us. But before we get started, got a little gift for you. I know you like gifts. I'd like you to go to my website, robertimbrielli.com/top 10, and download my latest ebook, The Top 10 Marketing Mistakes, and more importantly, How to Avoid Them. You can get that book for free, robertimbrielli.com/top 10. Oh, I'm so excited today. We have an opportunity to speak with somebody who is become a friend over the past 6 months or a year or so, and it's been a lot of fun for me to participate in his group and share videos in the Coaching Jungle group that he runs. Mark Mowinney is with us today, and I am excited to talk to you a little bit about him. Mark is a lifelong entrepreneur who helps coaches get more clients and get this without paid advertising, and I know that's a topic you want to hear more about because I certainly do. He achieves this with his coaching programs, his podcast, Natural Born Coaches. You should subscribe. His Facebook group, The Coaching Jungle, almost 17,000 members, or maybe just a little bit more now, 17,000 members, and his exclusive hard copy newsletter, Secret Coach Club. I'll give you a little bit more, too. He's been a speaker at events like Social Media Marketing World, frequently makes media appearances, and has contributed to publications like Entrepreneur.com, and you can learn more about Mark at mark.coach, and I love that domain. Mark, welcome.
Hey, Robert. Thank you for having me on.
So good to have you here. So
I'm mad at you, though, because you have the bad habit of sharing videos from your home in California. I'm up in Canada with 10 feet of snow. And of course, it's beautiful countryside and the sunny California. And I'm like, oh, Robert, you're killing us.
Don't do
so
this.
So we're going to put a ban in the group that you can't post any videos from like January to April.
Okay. You know what I'll do? I'll just go up against a wall so you can't tell what the weather's like here.
Yes, that's right. Pick the worst possible day, then it's possible. Or if the temperature gets down into like the 50s, you're allowed to do it.
But well, it's 62 and cloudy today. So, you know, you're not going to get any sunsets out of me today.
I feel better now.
Mark, it's a real pleasure to get to meet you finally. I know we've communicated back and forth with email, but this takes it to a whole new level. This is an opportunity to get to know you a little bit, find out more about your background, find out more about what you're doing. You are, to me, what I call a serial entrepreneur. And, you know, someone who's been in business, you were real estate business before, and now are just training coaches in how to build their coaching businesses. I call them coaching practices, coaching businesses. I guess the word's interchangeable, you know, and you're doing a very great job because I've seen some of the feedback and I've seen some of the people that you've worked with, and I know how much they rave about you. So congratulations on
Thank you.
A very successful career.
I'm having fun. It was one of the rare cases. I know coaches get crapped on a lot nowadays, but I came from the real estate background. So as long as you're coming from real estate or politics or used car sales, it's a step up. No, I'm having a lot of fun. I'm teasing my real estate friends from my past life because there are a lot of great people in real estate. But I could say that since 2014, when I started my coaching business, I'm having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, and I love this industry too. I've been coaching now professionally since 1995 after
wow.
I kind of fell into coaching unintentionally. You know, I had done my first UPW, Unleash the Power Within, with Tony Robbins, and 2 weeks later a friend knocked on my door at 11 o'clock at night and he was suicidal. Actually, I was considering murder-suicide is what happened. And all of a sudden, I found myself in this situation, do-or-die coaching, right? And it was really eye-opening to me that I was able to actually help him and get him past that. And then for the next year, work with him to get his life back on track, which was phenomenal. And I got addicted to it. And it was just one of those things. It's just, I got to keep doing this. This is just too much fun, you know?
Yeah. Wow. That's intense. I think if he knocked on my door, I would have called the police. I mean, full disclosure, but I'm glad you helped him.
Yeah. Well, you know, Tony's training, he does work with a lot of people who are suicidal often in the seminars. He'll just say, okay, who is feeling suicidal? And he'll work with them and go through it. So we actually learned how to handle that. But like I said, my training, I just gone through one seminar at that point. You know, I didn't have a lot of in-depth training, but yeah, I think a lot of people would do that. They would just call 911 and, you know, get help.
Well, I've said before, coaching can save lives. And I know that sometimes it sounds like it's an exaggeration, like, oh yeah, hyperbole with it. Coaching didn't save my life physically or something as dramatic as your friends, but I was introduced to coaching after I say a bad business closure. There's never a good business closure, but I didn't even know what that coaching was until I went through actually two business closures and stumbles. And then I finally ditched my pride and said, I'm going to stop being a lone wolf and I need help, you know, getting back to my, on my feet and stuff. And that's what eventually led me to coaching. But for many years, I prided myself on doing it all alone. And I was approached once back when my real estate business was flying high and doing really, really well. And someone came to my office and he was trying to sell me on the concept of coaching. And I did, once he told me what it was, I'm like, you know, have a look. Can you see what I'm doing here? Like, I don't need a coach. I was 20 some years old and full of piss and vinegar and thought I could do everything. And looking back after that business closure, I thought, I wonder if things would have been differently. Now, I don't know if, how good of a coach he was, but a good coach in your corner, things wouldn't have ended the way that they ended, certainly with my business. So I always remember back to that. And I encourage people I work with, especially in that case, business coaches, I say there's someone out there that's on the brink, you know, they're ready to close down their business. They can't get any sleep. They're a walking zombie like I was at the end of it. And you could help those people. But the same principle applies, whether it be health coach, relationship coaches or whatever. Coaches can help people out of a really dark place. And I think that that's powerful.
It is incredibly powerful, and it is something that is, you know, sort of a gift to society, because a lot of people still have stigma about going to an actual therapist, right? But the coach is sort of that interim, that first step before you get to that phase. And I think I've seen so many times where the coaches really help somebody turn their life around so quickly, one or two sessions, and boom, they're already seeing results on it, that it's just a phenomenal industry. Mark, do you know, being in Canada, do you know the meaning of the word entrepreneur?
I know that it's a French word, ironically, because the French aren't known for, not to knock anyone from France, but they're more into the joie de vivre.
Yes.
You're from Quebec, Quebec. Can say it better than me. Even though I'm in Canada's only bilingual province, New Brunswick, but my French isn't great. But the French, of course, are very much more into enjoying life and, you know, enjoying their wine and relaxing and stuff like that. But I believe it's a French word. I would be curious any other insight that you could give besides me bashing the French.
It is a French word. It comes from the verb entreprendre, which means to undertake. So it literally translates in English to undertaker.
Wow. Right?
And it makes sense, because if you think about what we do as entrepreneurs, we wear every hat. And nobody else can do it. We're the lone wolf. We want to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're going to build our own websites. We're going to write our own copy. We're going to, you know, on and on and on. And it just makes sense. And it's one of those things that is kind of a double-edged sword. It's like fantastic that we have all these skills, but it's hard to market us. We're sort of chronically unemployable, if you will, because we've got our hands in too many pots all the time. You know, it's an interesting game that we play.
Yes. Yeah. And actually, I just recorded an interview for my podcast earlier today with someone, and we were talking about the Pomodoro technique, you know, the whole productivity thing where you work 25 minutes hard on something, then 5 minutes take a break, and then you're back at it. But what we were chatting about in that is that the issue for entrepreneurs nowadays is you're getting pulled in every which direction. From everyone's telling you, you got to do this, you got to do that. And it plays head games with you. It's very hard to relax as an entrepreneur, to relax at night and just turn your business brain off.
Yeah. And I think that when you look at that and you say, okay, so what role would a coach play in that? It's like, you know, like when I started in 1995, I was also calling myself a business coach. I have a big background in marketing, you know, trained from Dan Kennedy and Jay Abraham and you name it, all the big marketing guys. And what I found was 9 out of 10 business owners that I worked with didn't need a new marketing strategy. They really didn't. And it was one of these things. It's like you think, well, come on, you know, they're hiring me for marketing because they want to increase their sales and this and that. What they needed more often than not, was an attitude adjustment. Fascinating. Fascinating.
They say the BSOs, bright, shiny objects, which I see in the coaching world a lot, is very dangerous, because it's tempting to ditch a strategy if it's not working well. But you know what I think with the big issue, Robert, is just as humans, coaches are humans, and humans are impatient. So they'll do, let's say, Facebook Lives for a week or a couple weeks, and they don't get a client. So, oh, this is stupid. I'm going to try something else. Yeah. Or I'll do, I see it all the time. I do daily emails to my list, and I've been doing them now for roughly 1400 days straight. I haven't missed a day, but I'll have a client.
I saw that. Very impressive. Congratulations on that.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So I've convince coaches to do it, and they'll get back to me and say, Mark, it didn't work. You know, you say daily emails work. I'm like, okay, tell me more. How long did you do it? Well, I tried it for 2 weeks and I didn't get any clients.
And I had six people on my list, right?
Yeah. That my mother, my aunt, my neighbor, my mailman, or and someone else. Yeah. And, you know, for me doing it, anytime I undertake something, whether it be podcasting, daily emails, whatever, obviously I want to do well with it, but I'm also a realist. And I say, you know what? I'm just going to do the best that I can. I'm not going to put pressure on myself. I have to get a client on day one for doing it. And I found with daily emails took about a month to start noticing replies and to the emails and right. getting traction from it. With my podcast, I always tell this story that it took me 6 weeks to get a client from the podcast. And people say, well, gee, 6 weeks isn't bad, Mark. I say, yeah, but it was a daily show at the time. Wow. Natural Born Coaches. Now it's a weekly show. So at a daily show, that was roughly 42 shows, which is almost a year if I was at a weekly frequency back then. So people say, oh, gee, 6 weeks, I could do podcasts for 6 weeks. No, I had to do 42 episodes before I got one person from it. With it. So you have to be patient. You have to put the work in and water those seeds that you plant.
Yeah. And I think you're right about that. I mean, you know, we're sort of the blue pill society today and instant gratification and Instagram and everything's fake and everything's fast and everything's immediate. And, you know, you'll post something on Facebook and you're looking for how many likes you're going to get and how quickly you got them, you know, and if it doesn't happen, you go, I'm a failure. And yeah. you really have to get past that and stop looking, you know, every hour, if you will, is post it up there. Let it be. Figure out what your next one's going to be. Let it be. And, you know, after a while, people get to know you. And it's in that process, that seeding process, that you start to develop the customers.
Yeah, there's one thing I found really helps. And I've made this mistake in past years where I call it playing too tight. And playing too tight is it's a hard thing sometimes to put into words, but it's when you're wound too tight where you're just constantly checking, you're refreshing your social media and look at your email. Did I get a client? Did I get a client? Is this working? How's this going? How's this going? And that's not a good way to be. You have to do a bit of a Jedi mind trick on yourself. You put the work into it, but then at some point you have to step back and give it time to work its magic and not be so, I say so anal about it with it and so paranoid. And it reminds me of the Toronto Blue Jays back in, 2015, I believe. They're playing the Texas Rangers. Make a long story short, there it was the first year back to the playoffs since 1993 for a Canadian team. Had an amazing year. They couldn't be beaten at all. The second half of the year, I'd be surprised if they ever lost a game. They had David Price and all these people. And they're on a real roll. We're all clearing off our mantles for the World Series memorabilia. And then they got to that first the series against the Texas Rangers, and oh my God, they looked like the Bad News Bears. They were just when I was watching the national anthems, it was in Toronto, first playoff game on Canadian soil in 22 years, and you could just tell they were just tight. And I'm like, I just had a weird feeling about it. I'm like, gee, they don't look good. I don't know. And sure enough, the game was horrible. They're kicking balls all around and all that stuff, and they ended up losing the first couple games to the brink of elimination. What happened, though, was I suspect if I was in that clubhouse, as they probably said, nobody gave them a chance after they were about to get swept. And they probably thought, well, we're going to lose anyways, and we're going to be just on vacation heading off, you know, no more baseball. Let's just have fun. Like, nobody's expecting us to win. And they end up winning the rest of the games and defeating Texas. And I think that was because they relaxed. They took the bats out of their, you know, where the sun doesn't shine, just relaxed and played baseball and did very well. That was a whole Jose Bautista bat flip series, which had me screaming and shouting. You could probably heard me from all the way in California there.
That's a great story. And it's really true. Yeah. I follow hockey a lot. And, you know, I see I always call it the momentum shift, right? Because hockey, the momentum shifts quite a few times during a game. And it always is when they're having fun, when they're not worried, they're not gripping their sticks too tight. You know, the games tend to go in their favor. And you're saying it, and it's really true for the coaching business too. It's the same thing. It's like, if you aren't so you know, tight on all these posts that you're going to do, an article you're going to write, an email you're going to write, and you need, you know, got to get the money, got to get the money, got to get the client, got to get the client right away. You basically are chasing those clients away. They're not going to go with that. They really want the more positive, the fun, the lighter energy, and that's what they're attracted to.
And they could pick up neediness. So if I didn't know you, Robert, you booked a call with me and I was all over you and like trying to sell you really hard. And like you would pick up on that. You'd be like, geez, Mark's must have a mortgage payment or a car payment coming up because he's. So here are two tips for anyone watching, which will help reduce your neediness. First of all, resist the temptation to answer messages or emails within 2 seconds, which a lot of coaches think, hey, I'm providing good customer service to clients or to prospects. They will be impressed. I get right back to them. In theory, that sounds good, but actually what it means, even if they don't realize it, subconsciously they're thinking, oh, Robert's not very busy. He got back to me in 1 second. He must not have much going on. So I'm not saying wait a week to get back to someone. You have to be on the ball. I always get back to my clients within that day. You know, I don't make them wait a week, but I'm not answering within 10 seconds. The other thing which will help is with your calendar, when you're sending people over to book a call, book an interview, book whatever, don't have every single slot, every hour of the week open. And I've seen some calendars that have their whole days are wide open. And then I would be thinking, well, gee, Robert doesn't have much going on here. So even if you don't have any clients or anything going on, at least block out some of those times. I would argue you should do that anyways for personal development or content creation or other things you should be doing. But please don't have all 168 hours a week open on your online calendar. That's not a good look. Have a little bit of mystique there and don't be so, I'd say, horny, if that's the right word for it, but you know what I mean, needy or horny.
And those are great tips. I mean, I do that too with my calendar, and it's like you got to block out that time. One of the things that I do with my coaching is I don't watch the clock when I'm on a coaching call. And I know a lot of coaches don't do that, but I'm more interested when I'm working with somebody on getting a result than I am at getting to the end of the hour, right? It's kind of a different process for me. So I couldn't book back to back, and I've got to leave, you know, gaps in between everything for that reason. But those are good points. You never want to, you know, I know that when a coach is just sitting by the phone and something comes in and bam, you're responding right away. Look, I've got great customer service. That means you're not busy. You got nothing going on. Dan Kennedy has always said, you know, you wait when somebody contacts you, you don't contact them back for 24 hours.
Yeah.
You give them a day, you know, just to, you know, got to fit you into my calendar. I'm not there yet, you know?
And it can be a struggle because where I came from, the real estate background, especially my early years of real estate, before I had a team around me, when somebody left, this is in the Stone Age back, God, we had pagers when I started in 2000. I think I got my first cell phone in 2001 or something. If I didn't get back to someone right away, the fear would be, oh, they're going to call one of the other 300 agents in my marketplace to list their house or to buy a house. So I would be very much, oh, gee, I got to get back person. At some points, this, again, really dates me. I drive around with a whole bunch of quarters in my vehicle and have to go to a payphone if I got paged by a number. And if you saw a number you didn't recognize, like, oh, God, that might be a prospect. And I would zip into a gas station here in my neck of the woods to call right away. And oh God, it's like another time, right? It's only been 20 years, but it feels like so long ago. But I gradually got away from that as I built a team and then into coaching. I reminded myself that no, it's not the end of the world if I don't get back to someone right away. Actually, I wouldn't want to work with someone if they expect an answer within 5 minutes. They're not my ideal client anyway. So they're doing me a favor if they end up going with someone else.
No emergency calls, right? That's the way I like to run the business is, to, you know, I'm not looking for people in crisis and trauma and that kind of thing. And you want people who are solid and, you know that you've got this time booked out, blocked out, and it's a week to week thing. And, you know, maybe there's an email or two in between, but, you know, not more than that.
Yeah, I had a client once and he wasn't a bad guy, but I call him my What About Bob client. So he was very needy. Like if he sent me a message on Facebook, he needed an answer within like a minute. And then he'd be messaging me a bunch of times wondering why I wasn't getting back to him. And anyone who hasn't seen What About Bob with Bill Murray and Richard Dreyfuss, Bill Murray's character, Bob, follows his shrink, Richard Dreyfuss, while he's on vacation with his family to this lakeside place, like resort town or whatever, and drives him crazy, right? Drives him bonkers. And I've said to myself, I don't want What About Bob clients that are like that because... Right. You need to enforce your boundaries. They have to respect my boundaries. I respect theirs. So I've had people try to book calls before that wouldn't go through my application process. One fellow once wanted to book a call with me, sent me a message. We knew each other a little bit, acquaintances, but didn't know each other really well. And I said, great, here's the link to send into my call booking form. And he must have gone to it. And he said, Mark, I'm not going to fill that out. You know who I am. Like, just, you know, when do you want to talk? Don't you know who I am? Hey, there's a rule of thumb. If anyone says, don't you know who I am, you probably shouldn't work with them. But I just said, look, this is how I do it. And let's not book the call. And I saved myself not just the time of that call, could have saved myself a lot of headaches there. Because if someone's not willing to fill out 30-second form, then I don't want to devote an hour to them.
Yeah, well, they're not willing to play by the rules, right? And right away, you know, the boundaries aren't being respected and they're just going to do it their way. And it's like, well, I don't want to work with those kind of clients. I get it. You know, they're just not the people you want to be in business
with. I had another one from Australia. And of course, that's always a challenge with compared to Canada, because it's about a 15-hour time difference from where I'm at. And he threw in a name. He said, hey, Mark, I got your name from so-and-so, a great coach from Australia that I really respect and we get along really well. But he said, I got your name from her, and I'd like to book a call with you. So I sent him to my calendar, and he said, I'm not going to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to talk with you, Mark. And he said, you're going to have to get up at 3 o'clock to talk to me. And he said, but it's going to be worth it. And I thought, yeah, no, you know what? I said, I'm not getting a great vibe here. Good luck, but I'm not going to do the call. If you're dragging yourself out of bed for a complete stranger at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I sent a message to the person whose name he threw in there, and I said, look, I got a message from so-and-so. I just want to give you a heads up. The guy's throwing your name around, but he's a bit of a jerk, and it's not a good good look for you either. But I say, anyways, if he ever says to you, Mark was being an idiot, he wouldn't book a call, this is why. So you know, I wasn't tattling on him, but I just said I wasn't getting a good vibe from him. And she said, yeah, that's how he is. He's just very abrasive and or whatever. So I have a rule. I don't work with, I have a no a-hole, no b-word rule to keep it PG-13 here. But for the men, no a-holes. And for the women, no b-words. I don't want to work with people like that.
Well, no, because we have the luxury, I think I would I call it that, that we can work with who we choose to work with. And yeah, you know, I've had those clients as well. I've had to let clients go who were just, you know, too challenging. And I don't like to do that. I don't like to get in that position. But sometimes, you know, they want to take over the conversation. It's like, so why are you hiring me? Just have someone to listen to you? You know what I mean? I can't help you that way, you know?
Yeah, I am not saying it's always going to be all sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. I mean, but I don't want to look ahead to my day and think, oh, God, I got a call with Robert. I can't stand Robert, and feel like just like canceling it or something like that. Like, I want to look forward to the calls coming up for the day. If not, why not just get a job that I'd be miserable at, right? I'm running my own business and working hard at it because I expect to have those perks, like working with people who I want to work with and setting my own schedule and stuff. So yeah, that comes down to knowing your worth and your value and having the backbone to back it up. But the sooner you could do it as a coach, the better. If you're a new coach and you could get these kind of practices and boundaries in place, it'll make it much easier as you get busier down the road.
Awesome. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, a lot of coaches out there, you know, are here today because they want to know how to build their business without funnels or ads. And I know you have tactics with podcasts and live streams and all kinds of things. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things you do or teach to bring new clients for your coaches.
It's tricky to put into a short podcast interview, but one of the things I'm really big on is you're right. I know you're also saying this all the time, Robert. You don't need to do paid ads. Now, don't get me wrong. People do well with ads. If that's how you want to do it, knock your socks off, but you don't have to do that. And one of the things that I teach is to choose what I call three pillars. So basically, you're choosing three ways to get in front of your ideal client, and then you're consistently doing it. So my three pillars are podcasting. That's my show, Natural Born Coaches, but also going out on shows like we're doing now. So there's podcasting, there's Facebook, and especially the Facebook group, the Coaching Jungle. And then there's email marketing with my daily emails. So if I'm doing those three things, I know that I'm good. Now, I get business from elsewhere, but those are the big three for me. Your big three might be different. You know, if someone hates the sound of their voice, okay, don't do podcasts. Or if they hate writing, they can do videos instead, YouTube or Facebook Live or something. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, before you choose your three pillars, you have to know who you're helping and how you're helping them, which sounds like common sense, but I ask a lot of coaches that and they can't answer that. So you have to be really clear on, okay, this is you know, what I'm doing, this is the problem that I'm solving, then you get into those three pillars to get your clients coming in. So there's a two-pronged approach there with both.
It's a little bit of a challenge for those of us like me who were trained by the big guy, Tony Robbins, because we were trained to be able to help anybody at any time for any reason. And that's a good, bad thing. That's a good thing because you've got this great skill set to work with, but it's impossible to market. Right. Yes. So you can come to someone and say, you know what, Mark, whatever's going on with you, I have a solution. I can help you. And you go, okay. And you can't place that anywhere, you know. But if I came to you and said, Mark, you have an issue with women, or you have an issue with money, or you have an issue with managing your health, or, you know, whatever the issue is very specific. It's easier for you to put that in context and say, okay, yeah, I'd like to lose a little bit of weight this year, or I'd like to meet a new woman this year, or, you know, whatever the goal might be. Then it's easier to walk that forward. It's really difficult for coaches to get their head around that, though.
Yeah, it is. And unfortunately, if you don't get them through the door, you're not going to be able to help them all the other ways. So you have to, like you said, have a clearly defined purpose. And here's what I do, you know, and why should they be hiring you? Then you have a whole toolbox that you can pull from and use all those tools for it. But you're right. If you don't get them through the door first, then you're not going to get that opportunity. And I think a lot of coaches, there's a few issues. First off, they're good people who want to help others. So they have a big heart and they don't want to turn away anyone. So that's one of the challenges. But also there's a fear of, oh, why am I turning people away? Because I need money now and coming in, I need clients. Why am I positioned? It's, again, a bit of a Jedi mind trick. But if you can get your head wrapped around it, you'll actually have more clients to choose from if you're in a tighter. I know people are sick of hearing the word niche. It's a coaching drinking game. Every time you hear niche or niching or niche, take a shot, you know, because it's said so many times in the run of a day. I say it the American way, by the way, where most of my clients are in the States. I'm a niche guy, not niche. Like my fellow snooty Canadians think they're better than everyone else. Niche, you know, like it's so refined. I'm a niche guy.
That one I don't know the origin of. I got to look that one up. I don't know the origin if that's a French word or not.
I don't know. I was going to make up something and say it's Polynesian or something.
Something. But, it's coming from somewhere, right? But it is true. And, you know, when you're able to focus on one thing, I do this with when I coach chiropractors, especially, you know, a chiropractor is one of those kinds of doctors that can heal anything, right? You got high blood pressure, diabetes, whatever the issue is, they can work with you. But they can't sell it. They can't market on that. So I say, let's just do, you know, one ailment. Let's work on one ailment at a time. Let's go get a bunch of patients with high blood pressure issues. Fill the practice there, get the money coming in, and then you might say, okay, I want to work with people with lower back pain, or I want to work with diabetics, or, you know, whatever it is. And they make that shift, and that's how they build sort of a practice so they're not seeing the same patient all day long.
Yeah.
You know, because they do get bored with that.
One of the past guests on my show, he was on way back in 2015, I think. He's in the UK, but he was going to be a traditional business coach to help any business owner out there. And he decided, you know what, I'm only going to focus on dentists or dental practice owners. And he became known as that guy. The interesting thing is, as he got going, people saw how gangbusters he was going. All of a sudden, all these dental coaches started popping up. But it was interesting. He didn't have any passion for dentistry other than going to get his teeth cleaned and stuff like that. It's not like he had a background with dentists. He just thought, you know what, these are people who can use coaches. They probably have the money to hire a coach. You can show the ROI, which always makes it easier, by the way. If you can show it, for the business context, hey, every dollar you invest in coaching with me is going to turn into $5 or $10. That's an easy sell. But on the health side of it, I mean, there's other compelling arguments. You know, right. If you're helping someone lose 50 pounds and adding 5 years to their life, or allowing them to be around to walk their little girl down the aisle when she's getting married, then that's pretty powerful. Or if there's a couple that's been married for 20 years but are now sleeping in different bedrooms and want to rip each other's heads off and they're getting divorced, if that's the direction it's going and you can save them from that, I think that that's just as compelling or more compelling than the business argument. Because what was I said back when I was a kid? There was a bumper sticker that said, love is grand, divorce is 20 grand. Now, with inflation and everything else, it should be love is grand, divorce is 200 grand or more, you know, with it. But that's why when people say to me, well, you have to be a business type coach to make any money coaching, and I think, no, well, look right there, the divorce example, you could turn that into the business side of it. But I would think there are a lot of entrepreneurs that could lose a lot of money, and also the heartache and the family strife and everything from a divorce situation. You can help them avoid that. And that's a very, very powerful thing that you should be charging a lot for.
Yeah, and that you're putting it into context and showing where it shows up, you know, financially for them. You know, you're basically selling money at a discount in that respect. And that's what I find. You know, I've been coaching business owners for a long time as well, and it's never, you know, just about the marketing. It's never just about a business strategy. It's never just about that. Oftentimes, it is something that's going on at home. It's something that's going on with their relationship, and you go there, and the first thing they're going to do is reject you. I don't want to talk about this, but you know, that's the thing. That's where it is. That's the issue. We need to work on that. Once we work on that, the other stuff will start flowing, you know?
Yeah. So one of the craziest niches I've come across, which illustrates that you can make money coaching doing anything. She's a former exotic dancer that helps current exotic dancers make more money every night and eventually build an exit strategy out of that business. And her whole thing is strip and grow rich. So I think it's stripandgrowrich.com. Saying Napoleon Hill's rolling around in his grave now with it, but she's apparently doing very well, and you know, that's great. That's her background. She was an exotic dancer, and now she's helping other ones do it. I've heard of handstand coaches making six figures a month, and if you Google handstand coach, I wouldn't believe that there are handstand coaches out there, but you will see when you Google it, there are people who help others learn how to do they teach them how to do handstands. You know, we have someone in the coaching jungle who coaches men, and he uses medieval sword play as his way of helping men. So you don't have to be so broad that you appeal to every single person. It's ironically going to make it harder to get clients going that route.
Yeah, and people think they think they're like Walmart. You know, it's like we're going to be one size fits all. We're going to cover it all. But you know, there's really only space for one Walmart. You know what I mean? It's like, and especially in the coaching world, you need to be niche. You need to be focused on what the outcomes are. And it also helps when you have a little bit of a track record, when you can go back and say, here, these are the people I've coached. These are the results they've achieved. They're happier. They're healthier. They're wealthier. You know, whatever it is, the story. And you know, they'll be much more inclined to, you know, first of all, book a call with you, but also sign up. And I find that, I don't know about you, you've probably felt this as well, when you show up as a coach in public. So you're showing up here on a podcast. This is easy. Anyone can do this. Mark, we're in California. You're in California with me, but you're not.
I wish.
Because right? as soon as we hang up this call, you go back to your day and you're in your house and you didn't have to travel. You didn't have to, you know, who knows? Maybe you're not even wearing pants. You don't even have to, right? And people don't realize the power of this today. I think we kind of take it for granted because it's like it's in our hands all the time. We have this camera. We can go live. We can record videos anywhere, anytime, for any reason. And so many people, you know, I call it hiding behind their email. And they expect to be very popular and very successful. But you can't do that anymore in a social media world. You know, send your check or money, order to P.O. box number, whatever, worked really great in the 80s, maybe into the 90s. But as soon as social media came out, doesn't work anymore. Yeah. Now people are asking, who's Mark? Who's Robert? What, you know, how do we find out more about him? Well, go to my website, go to my Facebook page, go watch my videos, go to Mark's website, go watch his videos, find out all about us and what we do, right?
Yeah, there's a great book I'm currently reading, and it's adapted from the classic Dale Carnegie book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, but it's How to Win Friends and Influence People in the Digital Age, I believe it's called. And it's from like Dale Carnegie and Associates. So they took inspiration from it, but it's not just a repackaged of the 1936 classic, but it was written in 2011. But it's a little bit older now. 2011 seems ancient, but it was written after social media exploded and stuff. And I'd recommend people check out that book. And I think that would be a good book for any coach to read. But you're right, we're all connected. You don't have the luxury of just slapping up a website and then waiting for people to virtually beat down the door, because it's not going to happen like that. Right. And it doesn't matter how good of a coach you are. If I had to put my money on one of two coaches, the first coach is an incredible coach, is just the best coach in the world at whatever he or she does, but is a crappy marketer. And then, or option two is the average coach who's the excellent marketer. I'm going to put my money on the average coach who's the excellent marketer, because the first one's not going to get an opportunity to help anyone because they're not going to get any clients with it. I know people say that's not fair. I know more than I've seen this from some of my older clients. I've worked with people who are 60, 65 years old. They have a vast wealth of knowledge from all that experience. And then they're grumbling about seeing a 21-year-old coach killing it on social media and stuff. And I say, it is what it is. Don't be bitter, you know, be better, get better at that stuff. You know, it's when people say, well, it's not fair. I know I'm three times their age. I know more than them. Doesn't matter. You know, people want results, but they have to first come through your door before you can give them those results.
Yeah. When that happens, I always say, well, how often are you auditioning? And they look at me and they go, what do you mean auditioning? I said, well, you know, every time you're interviewed on a podcast, every time you get on a stage, every time you do a Facebook Live, every time you write an email, every time you write an article, every time you post on social media, you're auditioning. You're letting people know the skills and the gifts that you have. And the more that you do that, the more people will know that. And they'll be able to come back to you and say, this guy really knows his stuff. I think I want to work with him.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to show your personality and right. your interests and stuff. Don't right. be on all the time. So you and I are connected on Facebook, Robert. So one thing I do, usually supper-ish my time, is I'll post a pun meme or a lame dad joke meme. They're very painful. Anyone can check it out, connect with me on Facebook, but I get a lot of eye rolls. But my sense of humor is a dry sense of humor. It can be sarcastic. I like puns. I like dad jokes. You know, my little guy, he rolls his eyes sometimes, but I do that. Now, some people might say, well, that's not professional if he's putting, you know, a meme up there or whatever. People don't want to do business with a logo or something that feels like a corporate feel, unless perhaps in some executive coaching niches. But I suppose even then, show a little bit about yourself. So people who follow me know I love movies, pop culture. I'm a comic book fan, you know, big fan of Superman. I like Star Wars. You know, I work that stuff into my content because I don't want to do what a lot of coaches do, is they just share just motivational quotes, never their own stuff. You don't know anything about them from their background. One of my mastermind members, Finn Patrick, he's in Scotland. Finn posted a picture today from, he plays the guitar and he has a musical background. He's a musician and all that stuff. He put up a post about that. Now, I knew just from knowing him that he had an interest in guitar, and that I knew about his musical background, but I'm guessing that a lot of other people are like, oh, I didn't know that. That's really cool. Because I saw my twin brother comment on his post. My brother Matt plays guitar, and he's like, oh, geez, that's a, and they start talking about the guitar. He said, that's a great guitar. That's a blah, blah, blah model and all this stuff. That's a good way to work it. So work in some of your hobbies and interests as well, so people know more about you other than just the logo or the business part of it.
That's the whole idea of social, right? And you know, when you're at a party and you're meeting people socially, you're not talking business. You know, no. We kind of miss that in social media. We only go in business. And I can't, you know, I've been criticized before. It's like, Rob, you don't share enough about your personal life. And it's like, yeah, it's probably true. I could probably do a better job there. And it's certainly worth looking into. Because I'm a pretty fascinating guy, if I do say so myself.
Of course, there's that thin line too, because nowadays authenticity is a buzzword. And I find a lot of coaches go a little too far. So if you have, you know, diarrhea today, don't update your Facebook friends or whatever. Or I see some people, if they get in a fight with their spouse or they catch their spouse cheating or something, they're updating all their Facebook friends about it. I actually saw a coach do that a year or two ago. She was putting scans of her divorce papers and all the correspondence between her and her husband on social media. And I think human nature is, that's interesting. You know, all the people who rubberneck when they see an accident on the highway, but is that helping your business? Like, I wouldn't trust someone like that to hire them if they're going through a lot of personal turmoil like it. So just be mindful. It's good to share stuff from your personal life and things, but not if you're sleeping on the couch tonight because you cheated on your spouse or something like that.
Exactly.
We don't need to hear that either.
Yeah, it's so funny because you start to see people do that, and you know if they're going to post their divorce papers online, if something goes on between you and that coach, guess what else is going to go online? You know, that whole story is going to go there, and that's not going to be fun.
No, exactly. I saw a coach once. She helped people, entrepreneurs, hit seven figures. She posts a screenshot of her bank account, and it was like $18.39. And she tried to turn it into a positive. She was trying to say, I'm going through a rough patch now, but I've made it from bounce back from worse. I don't know what worse would be if she had $15 in her account or something, but she tried to turn it into, you know, I've been in tight spots before and I'm going to make a comeback. And then after that, like, you know, the next day she's putting an offer out there like, hey, here's my program. I'll help you do this, help you do that. The post that she put up there, yeah, got plenty of engagement, likes, comments. People say, you go, girl, you'll do it. We believe in you or whatever. I wouldn't recommend that approach personally if I was advising her with it, because her whole business is helping people get past seven figures. Things I share, like we talked earlier about my business closure with real estate and stuff, very dark time. You know, I had a real estate business that was very successful until it all came crashing down, and I got through that dark tunnel and things like that. But this is many years later, I'm able to reflect on it and look at how I got past that. I wasn't live streaming my head in the toilet when I was sick to my stomach about my business closing and all this stuff back then. I had bigger fish to fry, you know, at that time. So
thank God for that, Mark. Thank God for that.
You're welcome.
No, this is good advice. And yeah, you know, you and I are very simpatico in our beliefs about, you know, what's required to, you know, become more successful as a coach and get out there and get in front of people. You know, I've always found that if you can get on stage and in a seminar situation and offer your, you know, discovery call, your strategy session, whatever you want to call it, you will get the vast majority of the people who are, you know, who liked your presentation, liked who you are, liked your personality. They're going to sign up for it. And I was doing that way back when with Tony Robbins, and we were getting, 80, 90% of the room to sign up for their discovery calls, and then just work through that during the week and sign up people here, there, and everywhere, and more coaching than you could possibly ever handle. And, you know, today you don't have to be on stage per se. You can do that from your smartphone and just get on Facebook Live, get out in front of people. And you provide a great service with Coaching Jungle. I mean, that's a great opportunity for coaches to get in front of their peers.
Yeah. You
know? And I'm surprised more people don't do it. I'm surprised more people don't have videos on there.
Video. Yeah. I know you're consistent. There's some others doing it, but you're right. It's, I know people are sometimes uncomfortable getting on video, but it definitely draws people in. I mean, don't get me wrong. I enjoy writing, and I write a ton of words a year and stuff, but I always like to have a video presence as well. Because that's, hey, it's 2020. You know, I think that's definitely needed. Yep. The other thought that popped up, you know, and this isn't rocket science. I know this, call me Captain Obvious, but you'll do much better with your coaching business when you think of people as people and not leads. And I find when we're in the bubble of the coaching world, we're talking about, let's say a good example, lead magnets. You know, lead magnets, if you and I are talking, that's kind of insider baseball. You can talk that way behind the scenes, but don't refer to, you wouldn't come up to someone that you didn't know, say, hey, would you like to join my email list to get my lead magnet, Mr. or Mrs. Lead? Yeah. they don't want to. I've had some calls I've done with people where I've said at the end of the call, I'm not the best guy to help you. And they're a little shocked because they're expecting like this arm twisty sale. But there's something that they said in there that I said, for example, maybe the Facebook ads or something is what they're looking for help with. I'm not a Facebook ads guy. And I'll say, but I can connect you with someone who's great, you know, with it. But I find that especially now compared to, say, 5 or 6 years ago, people have their guard up because they're used to getting pitched all the time by private message, or they're thinking, okay, what's a catch? This person is going to try to sell me. So when you do something to actually just treat them like a person and you say, hey, look, I don't think we're the right fit to work together. However, then you help them, you give them some resources that could help or refer them to someone else. That'll overall come back to benefit you. If you take that approach to your business, as opposed to, oh, I got to close every single person who comes within 100 feet of me and they have to become a client.
I think too, if you do your strategy session discovery call correctly, I don't have to get to a point with people where I have to, you know, pitch them. I get them to the point where they're asking me. you know, and they get to the point at the end of the call. And I usually do my discovery sessions, usually an hour long, which is uncommon. Most people try to get them done in 15 minutes. And I just don't think you're respecting that person if you're going to try to get things done that quickly, especially for a high dollar purchase, $5,000, $10,000 coaching package or more, you know, spend the hour. And I get them to the point where this was really great. I love what you're talking about. Yes, I see the vision. Okay, how do we work together? And they're asking me, which then, you know, I know I've got permission then to give them the whole spiel and what I do.
Yeah, I was talking with one of my other coaches or my mastermind, T.G. Thomas, and he's an expert when it comes to selling. And he was telling me a lot of times that when he's doing a call with them, they're buying him as much as they're buying the program that he's selling. But they're sold. They're like, great, I'm in. Here, let me make that payment. Then they're like, by the way, what did I buy? You know, what exactly is this? But TG is very good at what he does. He's sincere. People can tell his heart's in the right place. But his point was that if you do it the right way, there's a right way and wrong way to do it. Now, what's the wrong way? The wrong way, which we've all seen is, here's a good example. Coaches that start with their pricing up here. And then when someone says, no, I can't do that, then they drop down here, drop down here, drop down here. They're basically charging whatever they think the person can afford, squeezing as much out of it as they can. I had one client once who had a bad experience where you would know who this person was. His team was speaking with her and they tried to sell her this really a high-priced, high-ticket program. And she said, I have to speak with my husband about it. They said, well, why? You know, don't you wear the pants in the family? They're using that line. She said, well, any big purchases, we talk it over.
Right.
And they said, well, don't you have the cash now? She says, no. If we're going to put on the credit card, I have to talk with him. They're like, well, why don't you put it on the credit card? Don't tell him, make a bunch of money. And then in 30 days, you'll have the credit card paid off and you'll have a whole pile of other money that you made from it. He'll be so happy with you that you did this. And she just said, I'm done, you know, and they kept calling back. The person wouldn't let her go with that. Very, very like sleazy. She probably felt like getting a shower when she got done doing it. And unfortunately, that's not that uncommon, as you know, Robert, from being in this world. There's a lot of that going on out there. And I just I try to do it differently. Even back in my real estate days, I was never a high pressure type guy. I always work to draw the right people to me because it's much easier to sell when you do that.
Yeah. And what you're talking about there is, you know, beyond sleazy. I mean, why would you drive a spike between someone's, you know, marriage? I mean, why would you do that? That's just like, that doesn't make any sense at all. Just, you want to make that sale? No, not going to do that.
Well, the person that preaches it, and I don't know, maybe his team doesn't know, he doesn't know this team's doing that, but he preaches the opposite approach. So there's a disconnect there somewhere with it. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he had a rogue salesperson that was just going for that quick sale and the commission. But I suspect that it probably wasn't the case with it. And she ended up buying, enrolling in my group program. And she's the whole reason the story came out is she said, you know how I got connected with you? And this experience had just happened recently. And she said, with you, you were never like that with me. I've followed your stuff. We've chatted and things. And now I'm ready.
Yep.
So that's the thing.
And when I hear people say, I'm going to do drip marketing, I'm going to drip on my customers. I'm like, why would you want to drip on your customers? Don't you respect them? I hate that term so much. And it's just like, it doesn't show any respect. And I'm like, I can't take it. Don't talk to me about drip marketing. I don't want to talk about it.
So, I'm kind of in a weird place there with the middle too, because a lot of people talk about nurturing. I do think you should invite them, take the next step. Like each one of my daily emails has a URL or a call to action. Mm-hmm. So don't get me wrong. I believe that you have to sell to help. I think there's a right way and a wrong way to sell.
Exactly. And you know, like you say, I think you get some sales reps sometimes that are just focused on the commission, and they'll say whatever they need to say to get to that credit card, and then they're done. They check out. They're on to the next person. And there's a lot of that in this industry. It's hard to find a sincere coach, you know, and especially there's a lot of the companies that start to build teams around. It's harder for the coach who's running it to know what's happening on every single one of those phone calls.
Yeah, there are coaches that were doing really well with that approach, say, 5 years ago, and now I don't see them. And what I suspect happened, they're really good at getting the first sale, but they weren't good at getting repeat business referrals or whatever.
Right.
And they were probably getting a bunch of refund requests and stuff, too, after they did it. So people like that tend to work themselves out of the industry because it's even though there are a lot of coaches out there and stuff like that, the online space is surprisingly tight knit, you know, what you hear. And if someone's out there selling like that, it's going to, it gets around. Yeah, with it. So they're great at getting the first sale. Then all of a sudden, bang, they're gone. You don't see it. Because sometimes I'm like, gee, I wonder where so-and-so's at. And then I look and the website's down, or they haven't posted on their social media in 2 years. And that's probably what happened.
Yep. Yeah. Word got out. Mark, I'm having a lot of fun. I can go on for hours with you. We can keep talking and keep talking and keep talking. We're way beyond what we thought we would do today. So I want to thank you for being here. What do you have for our folks today? What would you like to plug here on the show before we end it?
Boys. So I want everyone to go don't tell their spouse they're doing this. Get your highest credit card that you have, and you can PayPal me the money. You'll make $1 million by next week. I guarantee it. my big focus, which I've mentioned a few times here, is masterminds are a big part of what I'm doing this year. So I have a Coaching Jungle Mastermind, kind of the next step up from the Facebook group, because groups are great, but this gives me an opportunity to work directly with people, and they also get the help from the group. It's groups of eight, maximum eight per group, so it's not 100 people, and they're going really well. So I'm filling those Coaching Jungle Masterminds with the right people. There's the asterisks. And if people want to check it out, see if it's for them, book a call with me to chat about it. It's at junglemastermind.com.
junglemastermind.com, and I'll make sure to put this in the video as well so people can see that URL and get there and go check that out. Wow. Awesome. Really appreciate you taking the time today, Mark. This was a blast.
This was fun. I love your consistency. So thanks for with the group, but also with the presentation of this interview. I feel like I'm on like Fox News or something. It's got the very professional look with everything too. So I'm like, this isn't his first trip to the rodeo. He's been around for a while.
No, so. I've been doing this a little bit. It's a lot of fun. All right.
Awesome.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you again real soon.